From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, the Ring Podcast where Rings are proud, some Blue Shirts hockey in between games. We're going to talk a lot. I mean, we have a lot of things that are kind of sort of on the ice, not quite so off the ice, that we need to discuss. Normally, we don't run into these situations here on the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud here on the Bleed Blue Show because we're strictly whatever happens on the ice stays on the ice. But there's been a lot of, you could say, altercations, confusion. You had the press conference yesterday before the game, before the Penguins game, with John Davidson and Jeff Gorton, and they're taking questions and answers from the press. And it's really interesting because I sat back and I don't try to buy into the hype. Put it like this. I'm going to give you the fresh perspective and then bring on the guys, right? Our perspective primarily on this platform is just to watch the games and then kind of form your opinion on what happened in the game, how we won, how we lost. But in this particular situation where there's been a lot of speculation on what happened with Tony DeAngelo, probably a lot of still unanswered questions because a lot of people are piecemealing their information from various sources, from Twitter, from the media, how the things went in the press conference. So I sat back and kind of said, okay, I don't know what the hell is going on. We could only speculate on what happened after the game when the Rangers lost in overtime to the Penguins. But we're going to have that discussion now. The Rangers did make up for it on Monday night. They did beat the Penguins 3-1, even though they got a very, very late goal. That's kind of like didn't really matter at the end of the day because they really won. They won the game. It was just an insurance goal that really didn't, you know, at the very end of the game. But that left a bad taste in my mouth, and it left a lot of questions with the Rangers locker room on what happened on the way to the Rangers locker room after that game, on what happened in overtime when Crosby scored that goal. But Craig, what's going on? How you doing? Say hello to the people, and then we'll bring on Glenn. How you doing, Craig? Say hello quick to the people.
Doing good, Steve. Welcome back, man. Go Rangers. Man, it's been a week.
Go Rangers. Yeah, man, this is crazy, man. Yeah, what's up? Hey, Glenn, what's up, man? How you doing? Say hello to the people. How you doing, man?
Doing great tonight after two wins out of three games, and I think you hit it right on the head, Steve. Sounds like you had pretty much the same Sunday and Monday I did, trying to track down what the story is, and I don't know if we'll ever know.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, that's a great point. We'll lead off with that. Now, Craig, we normally don't get into these things on this platform. We usually focus on what happens in the field of play, the rink, whatever the sport is. But I feel the need. We need to kind of talk about this, and we'll still talk about the what happened versus the Sabres and the Penguins. But the Tony DeAngelo situation, I do want to lead off with it because the Rangers are, like Glenn said, we did win two out of three. However, we still have a lot of digging out of the hole. There's been a lot of question marks from Rangers Twitter. Social media has been going crazy since Saturday as far as, well, this is the reason why the Rangers should name a captain, because things like this would not have happened. There may be a point to that. But, Craig, give us your thoughts on what happened since the Saturday. If you want to go back to Thursday, we can talk about Thursday as well. If you want to dive into the Pittsburgh overtime loss on Saturday and then all the way up and through Monday, and then we'll go to Glenn. What's your thoughts, Craig, on what happened with this Tony DeAngelo situation and in the games as well?
Man, I tell you what, I had to send you a message, be like, "Is this for real? Is he on waivers, or is this just some fan that's upset with him or whatever?" And I always remember that scene from Remember the Titans where the two guys are getting together and the one guy says, "Well, your attitude stinks," and the other guy says, "Well, you know what? Attitude reflects leadership." So, this whole captain thing, I have a different perspective than I think most people do. Because to me, the C on the chest, really, it's a guy that talks to the referees, if there's an issue or something's going on, question about a penalty. And I get it. There's supposed to be that leadership. But you know, last time I checked, the leadership is also supposed to come from the coaching staff. And no matter who puts that C on their chest, you know, I always thought that whole Tony D'Angelo thing, I thought that was just between him and Quinn at first. And then the more I heard about it, and it sounded like it was with some of the players and stuff, it's just like, man, that's getting to be more of a mess than I thought it was. But, yeah, I mean, the leadership, it's got to come from the guys that are leading, whether they got the C on it or not, on their chest.
All right. So now, before we go to Glenn, because what happened with him, as we all know, he went through the waiver, you could say pool, and he cleared that. Now he's kind of quiet. He's kind of like sitting there on the taxi squad, waiting to be traded. So I'm just, what happened in the end of that Pittsburgh game where it kind of was the last straw? Because it goes really go back to his arbitration with Tony D'Angelo, the way I look at it. So if you really felt that you really wanted to have this player, and you know the situation or the issues that he may or may bring to your team, he had a very good season, I thought, last year, and you wanted to carry that into this year. But what went wrong for Tony D'Angelo in your eyes, Craig? And then we'll go to Glenn.
Man, I tell you, I don't know if it's just too much passion or what. There's so much that I keep hearing about different things as far as what happened. You know, and I think, you know, when it goes back to it, you know, being from the Midwest, you know, I hate to say it because I'm a big Knicks fan, but watching the 90s Bulls, now, when they went and got Rodman, I mean, Rodman was just a punk, right? And just did whatever he wanted to do. But Rodman had Jordan there to keep him in line. And even when Rodman was in Detroit, you know, he had Isaiah there to keep him in line. I don't think there's anybody that's been able to keep Tony in line. So without that, again, leadership, then when you get guys like that, they don't have somebody keeping them in line. And I think it just exploded up to a point where, you know, you got to decide, you know, you got to move on. And if we're going to be Stanley Cup championship teams, we can't have a guy in the locker room bringing that negative attitude, whether it's him bringing it or whether it's the players, you know, just not liking his style. I don't know, but you just got to move on from it, I guess.
All right, cool. Glenn, what's your thoughts on this whole topic with Tony D'Angelo and what happened? Even if you want to go back to the Buffalo game when there was rumors speculating, and I think John Davidson kind of cleared that up at the press conference saying that was a whole bunch of hogwash. But the Pittsburgh game and him and Gorkyov and I guess squaring off, and there was a whole bunch of other information, or if you want to call it bad information, Glenn, I couldn't buy into it. If I couldn't verify it, I wasn't going to buy into it, so I wanted to wait and see how everything played out. But your whole opinion on what's going on with the Rangers and how is this affecting the team, Tony D'Angelo, so on and so forth.
Well, Steve, I'll first agree with Craig that I don't think someone having a C on the front of their uniform makes that much of a difference. We know who the leadership is on this team. There are four guys that have A's on the front. And like Craig said, generally the captain is the one that would talk to the referees if there's some question. But, you know, again, that's if the captain's on the ice. If one of the A's are on the ice, they talk to him. So I don't think that matters. We all know who the leadership is on this team. As far as D'Angelo goes, I think it may, you know, we know about the stories when he was in Arizona and then in juniors and everything, but I think some of this might go back even to last year, before last year, when he was forced to sign that kind of minimum contract because he really didn't have any leverage. And then he went out and proved himself. But he seems like the kind of kid that can't let things go. And I think that was, you know, a little burr in his side right back from that. Now, again, like we said, on Sunday and Monday, there were more conspiracy theories and rumors than the Kennedy assassination. And I don't know if we're ever going to find out exactly what happened. I think we had a lot of reporters and bloggers trying to be the first to tell the story. So they were just throwing all kinds of things out there and hoping their story wound up being the true one. You know, and like Gorton said, this is it's not one thing. It's a number of things that caused this. I mean, we read about teammates getting into altercations and scuffles and practices and everything all the time. So it wasn't just this one incident. You know, if Gorton told him after the first Islander game when he slammed the door of the penalty box, that if one more thing happens, you're gone. Well, then Tony should have known he's got to really stay in line. And for some reason, either he's incapable of doing that or I don't know what the problem is. But, you know, it was just a series of things where finally they decided that we just can't have these things going on anymore. I mean, I think Gorton tried to keep him in line. I think that Quinn tried to keep him in line, you know, with the benchings and talking to him and all. And I think that, you know, ultimately it comes down to him. He had to know that he's got to walk the line if he wants to stay here. And, you know, he just, for whatever reason, couldn't do it. And now we'll see where we go from there.
Yeah, that's pretty much the nuts and crannies of it, man. I mean, it's just the fact that he plays with a chip on his shoulder and he's very vocal. And that sometimes, if you got the right roster, it may work for you if you brace the right way. But when you are the Rangers and you're kind of going through these funks like we had over the last week and a half, I know we won 2 out of 3, but it still feels that there's some games or some a play has been left on the ice, meaning we had a great chance to win that game on Saturday. And mm-hmm. The way we lost that game, an overtime loss to Crosby, and him challenging the goalie, that part is definitely true. I mean, that's confirmed with the media sources and also management. So we could definitely put, you know, we can nail that. But what really, I think, was really odd as far as adding the other players like Chris Kreider to the mix, you added Keandre Miller to the mix, which I'm glad that Gorton and Davidson had the press conference before the Pittsburgh game to clear all that up, clear off the rumors. Because like you said, Glenn, Davidson said it in the his press conference, he said to the extent of, you know, you have these blogs. We live in an era of social media where you don't know what is actual or, you know, what is 100% true or what is partially true or what has burned. Because a lot of the blogs need they need the hits. They need the, I guess you could say, attention or something to write about so they can get traffic. And then it goes overboard. And to make it about a Keandre Miller who – well, like Davidson said, he said that they got along fine. It wasn't that, you know. So, good job by the Rangers to clear it up. But you know, I don't think this was the press. You know, I didn't hear the entire press conference, Glenn and Craig. And I'm going to go back to you, Craig. I kind of wonder, you know, what are your stance on right now with the Rangers? We got to climb out of this hole. All right, we have the Tony D'Angelo situation. It's probably in our rear view right now because now he's on the taxi squad, right? So. What do we do as far as, like, are you a believer in Quinn game in and game out? I know it's hard to say, okay, it's still an early season, but it's hard to say that when you've got 56 games or 56 games. Like, we don't have time to play around. We got to win. We got to get these 2 points. This is why the overtime was pissing me off. Like, we had a lead and we gave it up. Craig, what's your thoughts on Quinn on how he's handling all this? The preparation of the players, it isn't getting any easier because this division is, you know, is very competitive, probably the most competitive in the league. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think this this series coming up against OB rated and the Capitals is going to be a key series, because I think, you know, when you start looking at, you know, here's the thing, we're 9 games in now, like you said, a 55-56 game season. And so numbers are starting to produce. You look at Panarin. I mean, I know some people get on him every game, but the guy's got 12 points through 9 games, 5 goals, 7 assists. So he should be out there. And you know, Fox and some of those guys, Buchnevich, that are starting to show some numbers, that he better have them out there and start, you know, building that consistency of having those guys out there. Igor has pretty much a 1 goal against average better than Georgie. So, you know what, just put Igor in there and realize they're not going to win every game. So I think Quinn should start seeing, now that he's moved people around so much, the guys that he should have in place. I think, like Glenn said, we won 2 out of the last 3. We should have won that first game against Pittsburgh. There's no doubt in my mind. We blew that game, and we've got to stop having those games. We've got to stop having those games that we just don't finish the game. So I think Quinn's going to really show the next few games if he sticks with these lineups that have been successful and lets these guys, if they make a mistake once in a while, they're going to make a mistake, but look at the numbers and keep those leaders in there.
Glenn, what about you? Your thoughts as far as now we're moving on and you know, what happened this past weekend? Kind of Craig alluded to, we have to put our eye on the prize and start winning a lot of these games. But your thoughts on Quinn and the job he's done through, you know, the first 9-10 games? And because the reason why I bring this up, because social media, Ranger fans are really, as you already know, Craig, especially, they are coming for Quinn hard. Now, are you a believer in Quinn? Is he the right coach through this first 9-10 games? I mean, it sounds really premature, but at the same time, like, we're the season because of the coronavirus and how everything is played with protocol. What, like, is this the right coach for this roster to take it to the next level, or the preparation and the game plan and the analytics of all this, Glenn? Like, where do you stand with Quinn on this?
Well, Steve, let me throw one last thing about D'Angelo that I saw in the last hour and a half or
sure.
so. And okay. It surprised me. I guess it really didn't surprise me. I saw that Darren Drager of TSN confirmed a report from Rick Carpinello that there are teams that are interested in trading for D'Angelo. I know Gordon and D'Angelo's agents have been calling teams to see if anyone would be interested. So, you know, this may be resolved quicker than we expected, because if there are teams that are interested, I'm sure that the Rangers would like to put this behind them as quickly as possible. How much they'll get for him, I don't know, but I think it's at this point it's addition by subtraction, and hopefully they can put this behind them as quickly as possible. So we'll see how that pans out. As far as the team and as far as Quinn, I'm still a Quinn believer. As far as the Shesterkin alternating with Georgiev, there are teams out in the NHL that are doing that. I mean, Torts is doing that in Columbus with Korpisalo and Mislerkins. They've played every other game so far this season, and there's other teams that are doing a split like that too. To me, you know, we know Shesterkin's going to be the guy, and I would love to see him just leave him out there for 3 or 4 games and see what happens. I believe he's going to have to do that eventually this season, so why not just do it now? And, you know, I mean, the team, the last game against Pittsburgh didn't start out well in the first period, but got better as the game went on. I thought that was the best third period they've had this season so far. I was kind of shocked to hear they had only scored 2 third-period goals in the first 9 games. And I thought that was their best third period last night, so hopefully they can build on that. And, you know, we got 5 out of 6 points. When I looked at the standings this morning, we're 3 points behind Pittsburgh for the 4th playoff spot in the division. I think that that's pretty good, despite the fact that we've thrown away so many points in these first 9 or 10 games. So hopefully they can tighten up their third periods. They were a very good third period team last year. So hopefully they can do that again. And I think when we look at this division, you know, Philly and Boston are probably the cream of the crop. Washington, I wasn't so sure about when the season started, but, you know, I mean, they didn't lose a game the 4 or 5 games that they had Ovechkin and Kuznetsov and Samsonov out. So looks like they are establishing themselves as the third team in the division that's going to be toward the, you know, fighting for first. And when I look at the other teams that are left, the Rangers, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, Devils, and Islanders, I mean, I think it's just going to be a fight right down to the finish between those five teams for that last spot. So, you know, despite the fact that we've thrown away so many points, you know, we're right there. You know, I'm going to try and put a positive spin on this and say, you know, I think last week I mentioned that we could be 8-10 points out of a playoff spot by the time we spoke tonight, and we're 3. So I think that's a good sign, and hopefully, you know, after the D'Angelo thing is resolved, this team can pull together and play a little more solid defense and, you know, be on their way. So we'll see what happens.
Right, right. And to your point, as far as how we let a lot of points on the table, we should be in a better position.
I'm
a believer in Quinn. I think he has the right guys, the right combination of guys to put out there. I know that always kind of, you know, we went away from Lane Vigneault, and we always said he was hard on the younger players, and now we got the younger players. Now it's crazy that we go a lot of back and forth as far as philosophy and head coaches and stuff, like, oh, this guy should be this head coach for this group. But defensively, yeah, they got to tighten up. Okay, now the penalties, and I'm gonna go back to Craig on this. The penalties, mm-hmm. I can't even look. Maybe 4 or 5 minutes of stretch of a game, we're getting called for penalties left and right. Now the bright side of it, the penalty kill has been fantastic. Now I don't know if that's bad, if it's bad Pittsburgh power play or it was great New York Rangers penalty kill. Now when we played Buffalo, we kind of struggled on the PK, because I think Buffalo has a very above average power play special teams unit. But
Right. Regardless,
if you're looking for a silver lining, I mean, the penalty kill probably saved our lunch on Monday, because, you know, they pretty much was, what, 6 for 6, something like that. So, Craig, you know, talking about the defense now, Keandre Miller had a really interesting game on Monday. He gave up what I thought was a bad goal early on, right? But he had a key block in the game. He actually had a breakaway, and I almost lost my marbles when he lost that puck on the breakaway. But he made some good plays, and then he had some struggles. But nonetheless, like Glenn said, like, if we could just get it going, and this guy's that we need to get going. What is your thoughts as far as, you know, the Pittsburgh game, Keandre Miller? You know, you mentioned Panarin, which you are absolutely correct as far as his points. You know, he's just accumulating points on the low. He had a 3-point game on Monday, but we need Zibanejad to step up. And, you know, we talked about that last week, and especially you did, as far as the COVID. Maybe there's something there. He actually had a great deflection attempt on Monday. It just didn't go in. I thought he had a great chance of scoring. Kreider's kind of offensively done his job on the low. He's actually had the go-ahead goal. What's your thoughts with the veterans on this team too as well? And then if you want to talk about the youth, Keandre Miller and his game over the weekend.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Miller's youth showed in that game a little bit, because there were a couple times where that puck was coming down on the goal line, and he just kind of nonchalant went after it and got out-hustled. And, you know, Miller – I guess I'm not worried about Miller in the long run, because I think as Rangers fans, we have to look at, you know, what is this going to be like for the next 5 to 7, 8, 9 years, maybe even. And yeah, a lot of these young guys that are on there, again, it comes with consistency. Keep them on the ice, let them learn from their mistakes. You know, it was like when Lafreniere kept shooting and missing and missing, and they were setting him up like nobody's business. And he a couple times even whiffed on the puck, and just had he had a couple opportunities, and he finally scored that goal. But you know, they highlighted every time that they would set him up for a shot, he was going back to the bench, and he was talking to the veterans about what he could do differently, what he could do to be in that spot to get that goal. And you know, so I think that's where you look at our youth, and our youth on our team are utilizing the veterans to learn from their mistakes. I think when it comes to penalties, again, you look back on defense, and our you know, our penalties are hooking or even like interference, and it goes back to where we're just getting out-hustled again. And it's either out-hustle or it's size, one of the two, because that's usually how penalties happen is you get beat, and so what do? You're throwing your stick out there to try and knock at the puck because the guy's already in front of you going towards the goal, and you either hook him, you slash him, or whatever. And so that's either speed or size. And maybe it's size where guys are coming down and trying to get physical with us, and we don't know what to do. So, again, we're slashing at them or hooking them and just not making the right moves to stop the puck. And we're going after the players instead because they've already beat us. So, yeah, I think you know, I think our offense is stepping up, and I think that's good. I think one thing I think I saw in the last couple games against the Penguins is we were kind of positioning ourselves a little better for rebounds and attacking the net instead of just taking one shot, and the rebounds were going right back to the goalie. So, yeah, I'm seeing some improvements this past week on that. So just got to get that defense moving a little quicker.
All right. Glenn, what about you as far as improvements, the play of all the guys like Keandre Miller? I thought he had an interesting up and down, but, you know, quality game defensively. He had a block shot, you know, putting his body out there. Adam Fox, I think he shows a lot of good composure out there at the point. Anybody else, you know, Panarin, your thoughts on Panarin? How could we get Zibanejad going and the whole shebang?
Well, I think the Zibanejad looked a bit better on the last game against Pittsburgh. I think he's slowly kind of getting into shape, and you know, hopefully we can get him going. I know Quinn's been trying to switch up guys on the lines there to try and get guys that are going to get the other guys who aren't going. But, you know, I have confidence in Zibanejad. I think he'll be fine. I think he's just, you know, not physically there yet. You know, we talked last week about how the veterans need to step up, and just tonight about how we know who the leaders on this team are. And, you know, you look at Panarin. I mean, he got 3 points. It was a pretty quiet 3 points and a kind of quiet 12 points in 9 games. But, you know, last year we kind of got roped in with all the extravaganza and everything about it, but he's been quietly right where he was last year as far as point production. I thought Kreider had maybe his strongest game of the year, especially in the third period. So, you know, the leaders, I think, did step up on this team. As far as Keandre goes, you know, he's a kid. He's going to make mistakes. We talked a couple of weeks ago about can we expect Quinn to keep him with Trouba to be able to play those types of minutes. And he's looking for the most part like he can. I mean, we'll still have to worry about a speed bump in the middle of the season. But, you know, when I thought about it, Fox really didn't hit a wall last year. Lindgren really didn't. We had three defensemen, McCarr, Quinn, and Fox, of the four finalists for the Calder Trophy. So, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean he's got to hit a wall. He may not. You know, the thing with that block the other night when Shesterkin was out of position, you know, the way he had the focus and the you know, the the mindset to kind of stop on a dime and get back out in front of the net. Zalaket at the end of the game, in the post game, said that not only was that a game-saving block, but maybe a season-saving block. And I don't think he was exaggerating too much, because with how fragile this team has been in the third period so far, if they gave up another lead last night after playing so well, who knows if they would have won, and who knows how the season might be spiraling. So, you know, it might have been a little bit of an exaggeration, but, you know, he's right. I mean, that block saved the game and probably gave them a lot more confidence than they would have had, because this team has just been very fragile in the third period. So, again, I think Keandre, you know, looks real good. He's a kid. He's going to make some mistakes. But for the most part, I think, like Craig said, you know, these guys seem to go back and talk to the veterans. What did I do? What can I do better? And I think that's going to create a real good chemistry on this team going forward.
Yeah, I was on edge too, man. I was on edge in that third period because it felt like they were going to lose the lead. I ain't going to lie, man. I thought
yep.
they were going to lose
me
the lead.
Me too. Yeah, me too. I was about to go again.
Right. You know what? And the reason why, and they've actually been a little bit better the last couple of games with the faceoffs, but that Saturday game, they lost the faceoff, and they ended up tying the game midway through the third period. And the Rangers have been better. I got to give it to them. And the same reason why they allowed the game to be tied on Saturday is the same reason why we took the lead on the power play, where we got the Kreider deflection. I don't know if it was a redirection or he deflected it in, but we won that faceoff. And the guys have stepped up. You know, we've killed Strom. Let's be fair. We killed Strom for, like, the last 2 weeks here. But he's not, like, necessarily, you know, he has a lot of great chances. Offensively, had a lot of great chances. But defensively, he actually has done his job. Not only that, face-off-wise, he's actually been winning a lot of those. So I got to, you know, as far as retaining possession, for the Rangers to have a clear possession of the puck, Ryan Strome has been winning a lot of his faceoffs. Even if we talked about Zibanejad getting him going, at least he's doing that. He's winning a lot of his faceoffs as well. Glenn. Go ahead.
Steve, did you see the faceoff statistics from last night, though?
We won 14 out of 48. I've seen the game, but I didn't really watch that statistic.
We won 14 out of 48. 29%. I mean, yes, it was looking better, but last night was really bad again, and they got to address that they somehow, whether it's bringing somebody in, faceoffs. The good thing about the Devils game being postponed Saturday is they got 4 days now to practice after the Washington game. You know, maybe that'll help too. But, wow, when I saw that after the game, 14 out of 48, I was like, holy cow.
But what about the third period? I think that's where I was kind of hitting that, where they actually took the lead. They went up to 2-1. Yeah, it had to get better. But let me ask you this, Craig and Glenn as well. If you want to get to that, what does Quinn want to do as far as having that a key center who's gonna get hot as far as winning faceoffs and just get the quick change, or like are you gonna stick with the guys? Is he gonna continue to stick with Strom and Rooney's and let's talk about Kevin Rooney as well, because that's a guy he's kind of quietly scoring a little bit here and there, but as far as Howden, what about the centers as far as retaining possession and the bad statistics, but I thought they did a good job in the third period. Now, the first period, I can see that being bad. But what's your thoughts as far as, Craig, and then we can go to Glenn. What do you want to do as far as, does Quinn, does he stick with these guys, go with the hot hand? What's your thoughts as far as that, as far as retaining possession?
Well, I think like Glenn said, and like you kind of said, if Strome's sticking up to it, and if Rooney's coming in and winning faceoffs, then somehow try to work him in there during faceoff, especially, I think, during our defensive zone faceoff, because I mean, you don't want to lose. You definitely want to win the faceoff when you're in the offensive zone, because that's a great scoring opportunity, and we've definitely seen that a lot this year against us, but not for us. But I think when it comes down to especially defensive faceoff, if you got some guys that are hot, get them in there and just try and win that possession. Because yep. That's key. That's huge.
All right. Glenn, what's your thoughts? Or any additional thoughts on that?
Steve, I don't know what the answer is with face-offs. I mean, a lot of teams that have good face-off men put two of them out there for defensive face-offs in case one guy gets thrown out. I mean, I'll go back to the 94 Rangers. Mess would be out there taking all the big draws, but you know what? McTavish would be on the wing. And then if the Rangers wanted to face off, McTavish would go off, and whoever else would, you know, complete that line would come on. I don't know what the answer is with the face off, but they got to do something. I mean, Zibanejad wasn't that bad last year. You know, so maybe he'll be able to pick it up, but I don't have the answer. I don't know, really.
Other players that I thought got to give credit for the win on Monday, DiGiuseppe. I don't know if you guys remember seeing the play, but as far as late in the game when I think Pittsburgh had the extra man on the ice, where DiGiuseppe, instead of, you know, dumping the puck for an icing, you know, he was patient, and I think they were on with a long shift where he got to the red line and got over it so he don't have to do the two-line pass. Just little things like that, instead of wasting, I guess you could say, time, or put yourself back in a position as far as a face-off where we have been our struggling. We won some key face-offs in the third period, but we did not put ourselves in that position. I got to give DiGiuseppe a good I remember that play, and I wanted to make sure I get that shouted out from that game on Monday. But, as far as Quinn, I don't know. Hopefully they just turn around. Usually these things don't really – like face-offs and those type of statistics, they don't really turn around overnight. You just kind of hope they get on a roll and just hopefully it breaks for us. You're right. Zibanejad last year was pretty damn. He did his job on that. He did well.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, man, I mean, it's not as, you know, not as the same. Go ahead. I hear you.
No, I was just going to say, I'm sure the coaches realize that too, and they're going to have to figure out a way to fix it, especially in the defensive zone. So hopefully they'll find a way. Mm-hmm.
What's your thoughts on the power play, Craig? And same for you, Glenn, as far as the setup on the power play. I mean, you've seen the guys are out there for a long time, the first unit. But what do you like about it, and what do you like to see them try to get more done with that?
I know a lot of people get on them about the passing stuff, and I get it, but I'm impressed with our puck possession during power plays. We probably one of the reasons we probably have that puck possession is because we're not taking enough shots, and I get it, but there were so many times during some of our power plays that I thought the Pens were going to clear the ice, and all of a sudden we're still keeping it in our zone, and that's huge. I mean, that takes 10 to 12 seconds off power play possession every time they basically ice the puck, even though it's not icing. So the fact that we're keeping it in the zone is great. I think we can use that to our advantage and get more shots because if we're keeping it in our zone, we're going to get even more shots on it and just go from there. I think the puck possession is good. Just get some more quality shots, getting our guys in position for that rebound to put the rebound in.
Yeah, I mean, the power play
was
great. The power play is great. I mean, there have been times where they've kept the puck in the opposing zone, you know, up to a minute 50. I think they did that one time against Buffalo, and they've done it numerous times. So the puck possession on the power play has been fantastic. You know, there's always been an issue about, you know, that they don't shoot the puck enough. And I've always been a proponent of, you know, throwing the puck at the net and seeing what happens. Get the defense off balance, get the goalie kind of scrambling around. I mean, I was a goalie when I was younger, and I used to love it when teams just used to pass it around on the perimeter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it causes a lot of havoc when you put it in the goal crease and, you know, people are whacking away at it. But one thing I will mention about the power play, they're doing a really good job of, like Craig said, keeping the puck in the zone when it looks like it might be coming out. And one of the guys is doing a great job on that, and I am in no way comparing him to Brian Leetch. But, boy, I tell you, Fox on the power play, he's got such vision. He does such a good job of cutting pucks off on the boards and even up the middle of the ice. You know, there are certain things about Fox that reminds me of Leetch, and I'm in no way saying that he's Leetch. You know, I think he's done a great job on the power play, kind of quarterbacking it. And I see no reason why this team shouldn't have at least a top 10, if not higher, power play when the season ends. There's so much firepower, so much talent. Again, you know, it's tough to practice with the condensed schedule. I mean, you're playing every other night pretty much. And I'm hoping that, you know, like I said, now with that Devil game being postponed on Saturday, they'll have Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday for practices. So hopefully we can see this team come out next week and look even better with the benefit of some practice time.
That's a good point, man. That's a good point. And Craig, I don't know the status of Kako. I know he's going through the COVID protocols, but, you know, if we lose bodies and guys got to step up and things like sort of that nature. Glenn makes a good point because the game Saturday is postponed. They got the game Thursday versus Washington. So the way you could really pretty much go all in Thursday and get a nice little rest so you could really recharge and try to make a climb for the standings because, you know, I would love to, you know, like Glenn said earlier, you know, you're only three down to the Pittsburgh Penguins, but I really feel that it feels more than that because of the way we left points on the table. I think we could probably make a really good push against Washington on Thursday. I really do. And they've had their issues. They had to have guys out for COVID protocols too, but they're kind of like cruising right there at the top of the division. But Craig, well, how do you look at this, you know, going into this game on Thursday and then the foreseeable future? I got the Islanders on Monday and we'll be back here next Tuesday. Did see what happened or talk about what had happened?
I think we're going to hopefully come back next Tuesday with some good positives. You know, I always like to look at the positives and a couple things and with, like, that I'm seeing is, first of all, with D'Angelo, the whole D'Angelo thing is the guys, the team, the players were able to kind of separate themselves from it and come out on the ice and get a win against the Penguins. I mean, that's our first win in 11 games against the Penguins. So, and we've been playing them tough, you know, this year already. It's just one goal losses. And, you know, a lot of positives like that. I think what I'm hoping with Quinn is because sometimes, I know I talk about consistency and having the guys out on the ice, but sometimes you have guys that, you look at somebody like Blackwell, and Blackwell's history has been, you know, he comes in and he contributes when he needs to contribute, and that's good. But I feel like we might have pushed him a little bit, and we thought, oh, he comes out on fire, so let's keep putting him out there. I don't know, but I hope Quinn can recognize that he has guys that can be out on the ice longer than others, and he has guys that just need to come in every once in a while, contribute, fill in the holes where they need to fill in the holes, and then come back off the ice. So I think it's going to be nice. That break's going to be nice. I think they're doing a good job of staying away from the distractions, and that's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping that extra practice time doesn't cause any distractions.
All right. And Glenn, and, anything else you'd like to add? Kapokako? You know, his, you know, him getting back whenever he does as far as from the COVID protocol, and then, the foreseeable games as far as Washington, the Islanders, so on and so forth. And then we go around, if you guys have any thoughts from around the league as well.
Yeah, well, as far as Kako, the last I had seen was that he was okay. So I'm guessing that it might have been a contact tracing thing with somebody in his family or a friend or something like that, because if it was anything team-related, I would expect there would have been more players out for the COVID protocol. So I'm assuming that it's an isolated thing just with him, and that he doesn't actually – he hasn't tested positive. Now, the one thing they got to worry about with him is that, you know, he's a type 1 diabetic where he could be particularly vulnerable to it, so I'm sure they're going to take their time and be careful with him. But it sounds like he's okay, so hopefully that will – stay the case. Excuse me.
All right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, as far as the team goes, yeah. I mean, you know, we've had we've done pretty well against Washington over the years, even the years that they've been very good. A lot of that is credited to Henrik, who's not here anymore, so we'll see. But I think that with those four games, those 4 days off, that I'm expecting to see a really good push against Washington on Thursday night. And hopefully, like Craig said, with, you know, those 4 days off, we can not have any more distractions. Maybe D'Angelo gets dealt somewhere, and we can put that behind us. And, you know, just kind of settle in and get some lines together that will work, and defensive pairings, and work on the power play, work on faceoffs, and take advantage of that time off.
Right on, right on. Guys, you know, I watched a couple of other games around the league, and, then, you know, the overtime games was pretty fun to watch this week. The shootout with the Carolina game versus the Stars, Philadelphia versus the Islanders. I don't know if you guys saw it. It was Calgary and Winnipeg. I enjoyed that game the other night. Yeah. You know, because I try to keep tabs on the rest of the league, not just the Rangers. But, Craig, if you have any thoughts on the rest of the league and also your final thoughts on the Blue Shirts as we head into the Washington, got the Islanders next week, postponed game on Saturday. Thoughts on our squad, thoughts around the league, if you've been keeping tabs, and we can go to Glenn, and then we'll wrap up.
Yeah, I think we're going to be all right. I really do. I think this is going to come together. And looking around the league, and I agree with Glenn, if you really look around the league, Pittsburgh's doing the same thing. They've got Jari, who I thought was amazing. You know, he was their all-star guy last year, and, you know, he didn't even start in the playoffs last year. So the Penguins have been doing the same thing we're doing as far as goalies go the last 2 years, switching them out. And I think that's a good thing to a sense. I really do, because I think there's no just – you know, back in the day, we used to have goalies like, you know, Waugh and just a couple outstanding goalies and then everybody else, where, you know, now there's just a whole wide array of them. I think Boston looks tough. I really do. Like the way they've owned Pittsburgh this year has really just shocked me. And I always like to give my tips. I watch out for the Avalanche. I think the Avalanche are going to come out of the West looking good. And gosh, what about Columbus? I mean, geez, I didn't think that was going to happen, but they're looking good too. There's just, it's so early though. Again, it's so just up in the air. I mean, we didn't have quote unquote preseason. These guys haven't been able to play really internationally before the season. It's to me, I think it's still all up in the air. It's going to be a fun ride. And I think, with all the negatives we could say about what's going on with the Rangers, I think there's going to be a lot more positives coming along.
Sounds like a plan to me. Shout out to Rangers Saint. That would be Craig, man. Rangers Saints on Twitter. Thank you very much, sir. Glenn, your final thoughts on Rangers around the league, Glenn NYR.
Yeah, I watch as many games as I can, Steve. I've got the hockey package. So, I was watching Dallas and Columbus when we went on earlier tonight. I mean, Dallas looks real good. Montreal, I thought they'd be good, but they look surprisingly good. I mean, Edmonton, wow, if they ever got some goaltending. I mean, yeah, McDavid and Draisaitl with 11 points between them the other night. I mean, they're just like the old Oilers, the scary Oilers minus Grant Fuhr. If they ever get goaltending, boy, they are going to be tough. You know, as far as our division, like I said, Boston, I thought they might get off to a slow start, but Marchand was ready when the season opened. Pasternak is back now ahead of schedule, and I mean, they're going to be the Bruins. They're going to take another run at it. So I think really Philly, Boston, and Washington are the cream of the crop in the Ranger division. And that last playoff spot is going to be a battle between the other five teams. I think it's going to go – I mean, I don't really know if the Devils are going to drop out of it maybe. Buffalo, I think, is actually a little better than I thought they would be with Hall and also with Omar playing pretty well in goal. I think that's pretty much for our division. I think we're going to be in it right to the end, and depending on how things break, we might get some playoff games this year.
Yeah, it should be interesting, Glenn. Shout out to Glenn, Glenn NYR on Twitter as well. I'm actually a little surprised. I'm not as surprised at the projection in the Flyers, but through up until this point, they've been leading the division. That's a little bit surprising to me. I know they had the talent, though, and I talked to RP last season about this. I said, you got to watch out for the Flyers, man. It's, you know, yep. Alain Vigneault's going to have those guys right, especially when they got Kevin Hayes for that crazy contract, and things are really looking good down there in Philadelphia. But Florida hasn't played a lot of games. I wanted to see more Florida games. I think they've been always in these postponed games. So by default, they're kind of like – I think they have, like, no losses, but they didn't play that many games. So the jury's still pretty much out on them. And I mean, in that division, I really think it's all just about Tampa Bay and whoever comes behind them, like Columbus and Florida, yep. somebody like that. But I think Florida's a very – if they had the amount of games, they are a team, you know, with Quinville's a Stanley Cup winning head coach. They'll get them right. You know, Craig out there, and you know, being Iowa, you know, all those years in Chicago. Glenn, same thing, man, with Quinville. He's going to have those guys playing right when they do get the number of games. But Montreal, yeah, you're right, man. They always been like a team that's, you know, deep with their four lines. But you, to your point on McDavid, I saw what game was that? Was it Toronto? He skated between like five guys in the end. That's uncalled for. Man.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you're kind of McDavid, but come on. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I think they were playing Toronto, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't remember.
We went coast to coast?
Yep, I saw it.
That's just disgusting, man. I think I was more mad at the defense than giving the props of the offensive skills of Connor McDavid. Like you said, Drysdale and him, they're just going to feed each other and get each other points and stat pad off of each other. So that's that. But Calgary, I thought they played very well being down versus Winnipeg. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was saying McDavid and Drysdale are on two different lines. That's what's even more scary. I mean, they got Nugent Hopkins who's playing well on the line with McDavid. Yamamoto is on the line with Draisaitl. They got some talent on that team. And as far as Florida, you mentioned Florida again. I mean, Bobrovsky, again, is not playing that great. And, you know, that's going to be a problem there. Florida's got some really good talent on that team. Huberto and Barkov and some of the other guys they have. But, again, and Quenneville, who I have total respect for as a coach. I have to see if Bobrovsky comes around because he's not playing any better than he did last year right now.
Quick question for both of you guys, and we're out. So, is it Colorado's division or St. Louis's division, or somebody, or is it Vegas? How do you look at that division? Who do you favor, Craig and Glenn, out there in the West?
Well, I'm a little biased. I'm a Colorado guy because back in the '90s, I actually was out in Denver when they won the Stanley Cup, and actually had the honor, because of some friends that I knew, I got to party with the boys after they won the Stanley Cup.
Oh, nice.
Drinking with Patrick. Yeah, I drank with Patrick Waugh, and that was an amazing time, just hanging out with those guys. So I think I thought Colorado was going to be it last year. So I think they're still building up their program, and I'm looking to see them win that division. That's why that's just my bias, though. But one other thing I want to say real quick is if the Toronto Maple Leafs don't win the Stanley Cup this year, they're going to hit that 54-year mark of the last time they won the Stanley Cup. So as a Rangers fan, I need to go ahead and put that out there.
Yeah, they're not going to win. No.
That is a point, Craig. I thought of that, too. I was like, wow, we did 54, and now Toronto, of all teams, is doing 54.
Yeah, they can break that record for us.
Yeah. You know, in that division with Colorado, St. Louis, and Vegas, you know, I kind of lead toward Vegas because I think they have the best goaltending. I would look at Colorado, but again, with Grubauer and Francouz, or however you say his name, I think they're just a little notch below. But I agree with Craig. I thought Colorado was going to go much farther last year. I thought they were going to the finals for sure. And St. Louis is just a real good, young, but also have a number of veterans. I still love Binnington. I think he's one of the better goalies in the league. And I wouldn't be surprised to see that division come down to, like, 4 or 5 points between the three of them, because I think they're all upper echelon teams, and any one of them could win that division.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to be keeping tabs and watching a little bit more hockey. If we're not going to be in action over the weekend, I'm going to definitely, before the Super Bowl. You know what?
Yeah.
You know what? Since we got you here, give us a winner. Chiefs or Bucks, if you follow the football, we're going to actually write down our winners on across all of our platforms. We'll do it for the basketball. We'll do it for the football on Thursday. Craig, who you got for the game, man, the Super Bowl game? Same for you, Glenn, and we're out.
Man, I was pulling for the Bills. I really was pulling for the Bills because I'd like to see them win one before we lose Jim Kelly, because I know he isn't in the best of shape. And man, I experienced them through the 90s, just what the pain they went through going to 4 Super Bowls. But, you know, I just, I just love seeing Patrick Mahomes, what he's doing in Kansas City. I'd like to see them repeat. It pains me to say this because he used to be the coach at Philly, but Andy Reid is, I mean, he's a great coach. So I see the Chiefs just pulling this off. But then again, it's Tom Brady. I mean, every time you count Tom Brady out, there he is, going to the Super Bowl. So I'm going to say Chiefs by 3.
All right. Glenn, what about you?
Well, I should be rooting for Tampa because that would make my New York Giants look even better as being the only team that can beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. However, over on the Kansas City side, they have Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator for the Giants in Super Bowl 42. And he figured out a way to neutralize Brady, and I think he's going to find a way again. Also, Patrick Mahomes is the son of Pat Mahomes, and he's a Mets fan for my New York Mets. So I'm looking for Kansas City probably about the same margin, 3 or 4 points.
Yep, going with Kansas City as well. And I'll be echoing those same thoughts Thursday when we do our football. But shout-outs to Craig. Shout-outs to Glenn. This episode, of course, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. Everybody snowed in. Just keep on digging and just be safe. We'll be back next Tuesday after Super Bowl Sunday. Talk about what happened versus the Washington Capitals and the New York Islanders. All right, sign of the ladies and gentlemen. Bleed blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, 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 bleep blue.